First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. And the Bible said, "Likewise, ye younger, be subject, or submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season." Let me say this, lest I forget and don't get to say that when I'm down through here. You ought to never have asked the Lord to humble you. Your and my prayer ought to be, "God, help me to be humble." I tell you, if God has to humble us, it may be the rough way that He humbles us. Now, God knows how to humble us. He can humble us. But my prayer is, "Lord, help me always to stay humble where You won't have to humble me." And that's what He's saying. Notice what Peter said. He wasn't saying, "Now you wait till God does it," but he says, "Humble yourselves." Now that's individually that he's a meaning. "Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season or due time." You know, God knows how to exalt and when to exalt. I mean, you'll never be exalted wrong when God exalts you, because He'll always lift you to the position that you need to be in. And He does the exalting. And don't never try to exalt yourself, because if we do, God will bring us down. God hates and despises pride. But you see, if we can stay, have that humility, then God can lift us up and put us where He wants us, that others may see Jesus shining through our lives. And then He said, "Cast in all your care." Now notice He just said care here. I believe that includes everything. Just cast it all, whatever the need is or whatever the problem or the circumstance is, you just cast it on the Lord. Cast in all your care upon Him. Now, that's the only place you can cast it. You can't bring it nowhere else and leave it and get help from it. But you can get help from the Lord. He's able to take it. You see why you carry it when God said, "I'll take care of it." He wants you to give it to Him. You're going to have to give it. God will not take it from you. You have to give God your cares and your problems, your situations. But if you'll give it to Him and leave it there, God will take care of it and handle it. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Aren't you glad somebody as great as God really cares for us as individuals? He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," and I want to tell you, he's real. And he's having a heyday today. And he's up to and fro trying to tear down and disrupt and discourage everything that God has anything to do with. That's his business. He's mad at God. The only way to get back is God's through His church and His people. And you see the devil. He noticed what he said, "as a roaring lion." Didn't say he was, but you know how an old lion will do. He'll roar. And I'll tell you, he'll frighten you when you get the roaring of a lion. And we find it, he said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And we find, he says, "who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now that ought to help us, encourage us. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." See, we don't like that. But we will have that as a child of God. Notice what he said. Suffered how long? A while, in view of what eternity is. You ain't going to have to suffer forever. It's just a while. We're going to change bodies one of these days. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Now that's not sinless perfection, that's mature in you. He's going to make us mature. Established. Now, He will perfect us one day. We will be just like Him. But He's talking about things we're going through here. We're going to have to suffer a while, and He's going to make us perfect or mature us in the things of the Lord. And then He said,
strengthen, establish and then strengthen and then settle ye. Do you know that the things that Peter mentioned here will help to settle us in the things of the Lord? When you go through these things, if you'll take them in the right way, God can settle us. And we need to get settled today in the Lord. Have you ever seen such an unstable world that we're living in? And people's getting like that. So unsettled in the things that's so important. Then he said, to him be glory and honor, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Kind of got excited, didn't he? Hollered amen before he ever got through. Then he wrote a few more verses and then said amen again. You don't find the too many amens through the writing like that before you get to an end, but Peter did, because I believe he got excited over the things that he was writing about and talking about. I want to talk to us this morning, by the help of the Lord, some things that the church needs when she's going through some rough times. The church that's having some rough times and some things that we need. Now, all of us have rough times. God sees to that. It's not going to be a bed of roses all the way. You'd mark her down, because it's going to be some rough sledding some of the time. But there are some things that we need and God's got available for us as a child of God if we'll go through here. I'm talking about our lives, because we've got the adversary, the devil. It's going to, work on every one of us that's saved and try to hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. Now, Peter said we ought to be subject one to another. And notice some of the things that he's talking about here in the Word of the Lord. You see, we ought to have that submissive spirit in verse 5. In these last days, dear friend, we're going to have to have some things from God that He's got for us. I'm not talking about new things that God... He's already got these recorded in the Word of God. And He's saying if the church and the children of God will abide by these teachings that I've given them, they can face these rough times. I want to tell you, she's going to get rougher before Jesus comes. You mark her down. Because it's always been like that. You look before Jesus was ever born. You look what a time it was, 400 years. There wasn't even a sound of a prophet. I say some dark days. You look before the flood came in the Andalusian world. It was a dark time when the imagination of every man's heart was continued on evil. I want to tell you, we're getting back to that day. He said it'd be like the days of Lot and like the days of Noah. And we're fastly approaching those days again. But aren't you glad this morning? Thank God you don't have to face them alone. You've got somebody that's already given you some aid. And He's got what you need. And I need, and the church need, as we face these days when the rough times are coming on. And He said we just need a submissive spirit through these rough times. Then we need a spirit of servitude. Notice what He said in verses 5 and 6. He said, you humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty God, hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. He said, be clothed with humility in verse number 5 there. And if in that means just to tie a knot, that's what He's really talking about. I put a tie up on an apron. You remember that's what Jesus done when the disciples were gathered there. And there was a place on one of the occasions. We find that dear friend Jesus come in and He got a basin of water and girded a towel about Him and He tied that towel. That's what He's talking about. That's the spirit of servitude. Did you know He got down and washed every one of those disciples' feet? Oh, Peter said, you're going to wash me. Jesus told him that. And he said, you won't wash me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to be a part of me. Oh, Peter said, not my feet, but my head. And all over you just wash me. And that was, he took on the servant of servitude and served them. If any of that's not said, that we ought to do that if there's something in the church. That's not a church ceremony. You don't find nowhere in the Word of God or any epistle that they ever wise speak in as different in the church as doing it as a church ceremony. You know what He's saying? He said you ought to have that spirit of servitude. When there's somewhere that you go in a home and they pray you wash somebody's feet, that's the same as washing the feet of Jesus. You're doing it as a servant. You see, they ought to have been washing Jesus' feet. But you see, he washed shoulders and he tied an apron about him. And that's talking about time, and that's the spirit of servitude. He said, be clothed with humility. You see, he's setting us an example that all of us can do different in these last days. He's just showing an example of what we need to do different to others. And that's what he's saying. We ought to have that different that child. I mean, gird about us at all times. There's people today that's in need of love. And they're just needing somebody to love them. As I said, when you bathe them. Well, I've seen big women come in and bathe some of these older ones at home. I've seen he said, that's the spirit that you ought to have. And see men go in and do the same for the men. And that's the spirit that he's talking about. The friend that God is desiring from his people. And then there's the spirit of serenity. Look what he said in verse number 7. He said, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. The friend, notice what he's saying. He loves you. He cares for you. The friend, he knows about you. He knows your care today. He knows what you're in need of. He knows what you're walking through. He knows everything different, every hardship alive that you're experiencing. And God said, I know, I love, I care, and I understand. And he said, I want you to cast your cares upon me. Isn't that a good place to unload them? Isn't that a good place to go and get rid of them? I tell you, friend, you've heard me say many times, I believe there's burdens that you and I need to share. God told us to share them in the Word of God. But I want to tell you there's burdens that you're going to have to shoulder. Did you know because you caused them? There's a lot of times there's burdens of my own ways that I've done. And I'm going to have to shoulder that responsibility of those things. But I want to tell you there's another place. There's a place where you shed our burdens. Thank God you can share them. You can shoulder them. But aren't you glad you can shed them after you shoulder those burdens? Thank God you come shed them at the feet of Jesus. And that's what he's desiring. He said, cast your cares, your burdens, whatever they are, you cast them on the big hand of God. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody used to two of us try to carry them. We can't carry them, and he can. Dear friend, just give them to him. I've learned a long time ago, we'll just shed them. I'll tell you, the lamp of God, he'll take care of them. If I can ever get them back, I've had to take them many times. A lot of times, I take them a while, pick them back up, try to carry them again. Take them back, leave them back, and pick them back up again. Andy, I don't know how many times I've had to go with some. But dear friend, let me tell you today, when I got them down, left them back. That's what he wanted. Thank God he has shed them and he took care of them. He cared those. I'm glad he's able to take care of the situation if we'll just let him. You see, the devil wants us to carry him. He don't want you to shed them. Dear friend, because he'll drag you down. Did you know we can't carry them long? Burdens will rob you of joy. He'll rob you of power. And it'll hurt you, dear friend, physically and spiritually. That's exactly right. And you'll break under that a while. You can't carry it. But a lot of folks broke under burdens. They just didn't get to God and leave them there. And that's what he's saying. There's a spirit that we ought to do it in. He said you just cast it on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. What if you couldn't bring them to God? What if you had no place to do it? Bring them. What if you couldn't even share your burdens? Why be rough? Aren't you glad you've got people just like some stood this morning and these names that we've read off here that's sick and others have problems? Aren't you glad that you can take them and your brothers and sisters and the Lord can share that load and take it to the throne of God's amazing grace and tell God about it and he's able to intervene? But aren't you glad behind every bit of it? Thank God you can come and shed it and said, God, I've carried it long enough. It's too great for me. But you said you love me, and said I shall, and cast it to you. Thank God you can take it. Now let me just say this, as long as you've got it, you've never cast it. As long as you've never given it to him and got rid of it, you've still got it. As long as a fellow's sitting beside of the river, and he's got his fishing pole, and his hook, and his bait on, and he's sitting there looking at that and said, I'd sure like to get it out in the water. And he never did throw it. He's never cast that hook out there. See, he's never gotten rid of it from land. It's still on land. He'll never catch no fish on dry land because them fish sure ain't coming on the dry land to get the hook. You're going to have to throw the hook where the fish is. If you ever catch fish, you're going to have to fish where there's fish. And if you ever get unloaded of your burden, you're going to have to cast it on somebody else. And the only one that's ever asked us to cast it on him was Jesus. And he'll take it. That's just like endorsing a check. As long as you've signed it and holding it, take it to the teller and said, I believe we'll hold it a while. You'll never get no cash money for that, or you'll never get a deposit in your account as long as you've got a hold. You know what? You never have cast it. Oh, you say, preacher, that's my money. Yeah, but I tell you, but you can't spend that check unless you've got, dear friends, put it in your checking account. You see. Now, it's going to have to be cashed somewhere. You're going to have to give it somebody to cash it. Ain't no way you'll ever spend it unless you get it cashed. And see, as long as you've got it, you haven't cast it to somebody else. And that's exactly what God's saying. Casting all of your care on Him because He cares for it. We'll give God part of the thing and then we'll go around trying to carry the rest out. Notice He didn't say part of it. He said cast it. Cast it all. A-double-L. That means every bit of it. Casting all your care on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Oh, glory to His name today. I'm glad we got somewhere to bring. I'm glad we can give it to Him. I want to tell you, you can live a victorious life all the time. Amen. Now, some of you look at me like you don't believe that, but that's still the truth. Dear friend, He gave us victory.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors. When you're more than a conqueror, you're victorious. And the reason we don't live more on the victory side, we keep our cares and our burdens and the things and don't cast them on the Lord. Now, they'll pull you down to where you'll not have victory. I've carried them around to where I couldn't get my head up. But I'll tell you, you can sure raise her up if you ever get across them burdens laid on Jesus. See, you've unloaded. And the burden is in His lap, in His hands. That's what He said. Peter was writing to Christian people. Saved people. Oh, you may not go around shouting all the time. But I'll tell you, you've got victory in your heart. That's what I'm talking about. That daily living victory that the world can see that there's the Lord. Had a fellow down at the church I was in this week, and he's the first night of the church, and I got out, and he witnessed him just quickly open the door. And got saved the 2nd of June, and he's a Catholic. And he said, preacher, I fooled all these years. And said, I didn't know what I was missing. But he said, I want to tell you, God's changed me, and He's a lying liar. Preacher said, I'd like to have a few more like that down there. You talk about, you can just see him a beam. He just beams in the Lord. He witnessed everybody come to contact with him. That's the way he was. He got up one Sunday, I believe it was the next Sunday after he saved, and told the preacher, said, I want to sing a song. He said, have you ever sung? He said, no. Preacher said, I didn't know what we was in for. But he said, you know, he sung Amazing Grace, and it didn't miss a note. And doing a pretty good job. Sung without any music. Just cut loose and sing. And God helped him. You see, that's what God's able to do. He brought his sins in his chest. Thank God, put them on the Lord. And God took care of him. I'll tell you, and he's just a live wire. Amen. They say he's the same way at the shop. He come down from, I believe it's up about Pennsylvania, New Jersey, packed him and his wife and little boy in a U-Haul, just lit out down through here, and he said, God must have led me to where I'm at. Didn't even have a job when he got down here. He's done got about 3 uplifts in his job since he's been here from June. Amen. I said, you just can't outdo the Lord. That's what God's able to do. Amen. Why, he's just excited that he excited me. Hallelujah. Don't take a whole lot to excite me. You get to talking about what God's done for you. Why, I wasn't the only one. See, he didn't know who I was, and I just come out. He got sent out, said, my name's such and such. I'm going to tell you, said, I got saved here June the 2nd. Said, I'm going to be baptized. He said, the next week or two. Me and my wife both, he said. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't it good just to be saved? It's good to be in the family of Paul. I want to tell you, God's got some things we need in these last days if we just look to God and depend upon Him. That's what He's talking about. talking about. We need that spirit, dear friend, of just serving Him and honoring Him. I'm glad He'll sustain us. That's what He said. He said, cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. I'll tell you, dear friend, that's what He's looking for. Some of us, a lot of times, maybe having trouble. There may be folks here this morning is having a home problem. You may be having financial problems. You may be having job problems. I want to say, He said, you bring it to me. Yes. Did you know God can handle every one of them problems? Amen. That's no big deal for God. Amen. He just wants us to bring them to Him and give them to Him. Amen. Hey, some of you may be needing a job. Did you know God can do that? He gave this old boy a job, and he didn't even have a job when he come down here. Amen. I mean, making good money. He said, I was making good money when I left up there. And you know, he didn't tell, but you know what some of them told? Said they done raised him up to about $10 an hour. I mean, just doing extra good. God's a helping both ways, you see. And it kind of shocked me. A man just go to work a little out of tune. They're paying, and they're helping him like that. He's a real intelligent boy. I mean, he's worked with and plants and supervision work, and God just blessed him and hit him. I tell you, God, you say, well, preachers are always going to be like, no, he's down the valley when he comes through here. Old boy didn't have anything, didn't know where he's going, didn't even have, there really a place to live. I don't even know why all he left. But he said, I believe the Lord sent me down here to get me saved. Could have been. I'd rather think that as anything else. That's what happened to him first. He got saved. You said, couldn't he got saved up there? Yeah. But I'll tell you, run into some of them old country folks that love God, and they got to witness to him, friend, told him about Jesus, and he got saved. Him and his wife got saved. And he's prayed for his daddy all now. He was there one night and got him conviction, didn't come back. Amen. Preach said he'd been coming a few Sundays along. God get to deal with him and he'd stay out. And then he'd come back again. God gets to, I said, just keep praying and loving. I said, one of these days, God will say, just fouls in on him with Holy Ghost conviction. He won't run out that time. He'll come running the other way. Oh, dear friend, that's what he's talking about. He said, just casting your burdens on the Lord. I'm glad he can take care of them. But then he said in verse number 8 and 9, dear friend, we ought to have the spirit of sobriety. That's what he's talking about. Notice what he said there in verse number 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. I want to tell you, he's just reminding us that there's no need for carelessness here. We don't need to try to be careless going through here. Dear friend, listen, just because you can cast your burden from the Lord, that don't give you and I any room to get careless on God. He said, you've got an adversary if you're a child of God, and he's the devil, and he's going to be after you. Don't you get careless on God in the things that God's done for you. You know, a lot of times we cast everything on God and say, boy, we got it made now. God's saying that's a danger point. Don't you get careless. God will take your burden. But you live for God. You keep that humble spirit. You have that spirit of servitude. Dear friend, that you serve and do the things that God wants you to do. You see, because I want to tell you, you can ask folks, oh, I'm doing well. I want to tell you, dear friend, working behind some bush outside is the devil. And you may be the next thing he bounces on. Or I may be the next. And we need that spirit of servitude and that spirit of humility. Don't you get careless on God because how God's blessed him, what he's done. That's what Peter's telling us. There's some things that we need, dear friend, in these last days. And there's some things that God's able to give us, dear friend, if we'll just serve and honor him in these hours and days that we're living in. That's what he's saying. Dear friend, we just need to have that spirit that he's talking about. All that careless attitude that a lot of have. We have a careless attitude toward the devil a lot of times. I want to give you about 3 things that you need to remember about the devil. Don't ever forget it. You need to recognize the devil's the adversary. He is the adversary. If you're a friend of Christ, you've got an enemy today. That enemy's the adversary, and he's the devil. You can always mark it down. You're going to have to recognize him as an adversary. And then you're going to have to respect him. Now, don't get me wrong. You just stay with me, and I'll talk what I mean about disrespect. The Bible said that he goes about as a roaring lion. Don't you never underestimate the power of the devil. That's what we're going to have. Dear friend, you're going to have to respect. He's got power. He's got more power than we got. But he does not have more power than God has. He's limited. God's got him on the leash. And he says, Mr. Devil, you just go so far. And it's stopping. Why? He's been defeated at Calvary. And all the power the devil has is what God gives him. He had to get permission from God to touch Job. I believe he has to get permission from God to get a hold of us. Because God's no respecter of persons. If he'd done Job that way and didn't do us that way, he wouldn't be right. So he's got to get permission from God of what he wants to do. And God has to give him that permission. He said, there is Job. You can do anything you want to but kill him. And the devil done everything but kill him. But he didn't kill him. He couldn't kill him. You see, because he's in the hands of God. And we need to realize different and recognize the devil is an adversary. He's your enemy. And if you need to respect it, he still has power. He's as a roaring lion, walking up and down the road, seeking whom he may devour. And he don't have any respect for people doing it. And he's the devil. So you're going to have to respect him with his power. And then you need to realize and recognize that you can resist him steadfastly in the faith. Look what he said in verse 9. Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction, the same ones, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, how did the brethren overcome and accomplish? If when they resisted him steadfastly in the faith of the Word of God, and that's the way that you and I will resist that scam. He's your enemy. Recognize him. But you're going to have to respect he's got power, and you're no match for him. But I'm glad, thank God, we can resist him in the Lord and in the Word of God steadfastly. Peter knew that. He knew about this. He was given a personal testimony. Jesus had warned Peter. You remember Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord said, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. You say, got you that. Oh, Peter failed. He did, but his faith didn't. He still had faith in God. And he said, Peter, when thou art converted, you strengthen the brethren. Now that does not mean that Peter got saved. Peter was already saved. And he said, Peter, when thou art converted over the way and over the things that you fail God in, you'll be able to strengthen the brethren in those things. And Peter could strengthen others, and he is. He's still strengthening you and I through the Word of God today, because Jesus prayed for the devil won't desist him. It's weak. Oh, Peter cursed and swore, but he didn't even know the Lord. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, Lord. The rest of them might have said, oh, Peter. See, now there's that pride. Peter didn't have no humility here when he's saying that. If he'd just had humility and said, Lord, on the way, I just need your grace and your help. I mean, did I not fail you in the thing? But old Peter boasted and said, you depend on Peter. Said, the rest of them may deny you, but said, you look around, old Peter will be here. You know the first one that went down? Peter. Because Peter said, don't you never say you won't. You say, by the help of the grace of God, I hope I won't. Because if you say you won't anything but pride speaking from you, and you're the next candidate for a fall, and more than likely you will fall. That's exactly what happened to Peter. See, he's talking about, notice how much God talked about humility and service, servitude. That God do the exalting. You humble your own heart, keep it humble, and God will do the lifting up. Don't you get exalted up in pride. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before downfall. And God hates pride. And every one of us, God give every one of us some pride. There's enough pride in us to be decent. But you better leave it there and not let pride take over and exalt you. God even knows that Paul would have got pride in his heart before it didn't even happen, but God knew it was there. And he let Satan take a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. Why? Paul said, because he'd have got exalted above measure. pride. Pride. And God just gave him a thorn. He's humble with it. Amen. You see, he's talking about some things that we just need to recognize and realize. Why, old Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you to prison and to death. You remember later on in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were praying? What does Peter do? Sleep. Why, he said, Lord, I'll go to prison. I'll even die for you. Now, he would have physically. When them soldiers come to arrest the Lord, old Peter pulled out, yanked out that sword, flipped that ear off. I don't tell you, he wasn't a cut for an ear. He's a cut for that soldier's head. He'd cut his head off. Soldier just jerked his head out of the way, and he got an ear. Peter meant to kill him. He'd have fought for him. God said, put up the sword. We don't fight this battle that way anymore. That's not the way it's fought. It's fought by the Word of God and the power of God. That's the way that we fight our enemy today. That's what he's saying. But you know what? Peter failed to be sober. Peter failed to be vigilant. 3 times he denied the Lord. He finally cusses and swears. Says, I don't even know him. And I'm not a follower of his. So we need to be real careful. We need to recognize we've got an adversary. You need to respect he's got power greater than ours within ourselves. But he don't have more power than God. Thank God you can resist him steadfastly in the faith of the Lord. Did you know that the devil follow you around all your life and sets you up for one fall? If he can get you for one fall, he's done what he needs to do. Lost your influence and your respect. He may just follow you around to get to that one point. And we've got our guard down. We don't realize the adversary's around, lurking about. We don't respect his power. And we've not resisted him steadfastly. Hey, I've seen men make one fall, and it ruined them the rest of their life. See, that's the devil. That's the way he's down. See, that's what Peter has given us this testimony. He knew what he, personal testimony. He knew what he'd done before. He didn't have that humility and that soberness and sobriety that God had asked him to have. That's what he's talking about. But notice something else as he goes on in the Word of God. How he wants to help us and teach us in the things of the Lord. You see, if we'll just look to him, God's got some things we need that'll help us through. Then there's grace to fit us in where God wants us. Look what he said in verse 10. He said, but the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Notice what God said. He didn't say, I have a little grace. I have some grace once in a while. He said, I'm the God of all grace. There's not a grace that you can think about but what God is not the author of it. You've heard me say, God's got a monopoly on grace. Grace is from God. You don't get grace anywhere. It's from God. And he said, I'm the God of all grace. He has saving grace. He has serving grace. He's got redeeming grace. He's got grace to come back to God with when you fail. Restoring grace. He's got dying grace. Living grace. Any kind of grace you need, God's got. You say, preacher, he ain't give me no dying grace. He ain't dying. You're living. Oh, I know this old body's a dying. But dear friend, when you get ready to cross over the river, God switched living grace to dying grace. He promised dying grace for the children of God. I've seen him give it. Some of the saints of God do. I mean, they wasn't doped up either. They knew what they're talking about. They said, I'm ready. He's a coming. Hallelujah. Oh, that's dying grace. See, the sting's already been took out of death. And he already kicked the other end of the grave out. He said, you're just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You see the sting of death gone. And you're just going through the valley of the shadow, and there has to be a light to make a shadow. And he's the light. He's already been through here, and he's walking through the valley with us. And you see, you don't have anything to worry about. He's the one that's leading you through. And that's what he's saying. There's grace, and this grace is going to fit us in for whatever situation we're in that God's got grace for. You know what he's doing? Have you ever seen something just cut out of a hole? And see, what he's doing is cutting something like that out of a hole, and he's just fitting us into the plan and the purpose of God. But you see, a lot of time we got some jagged places on us, and we're really not fitting in that hole that God's got for us. That plan of God, that's what I'm talking about. And God's clipping all them rough places off to where we'll fit into that place in God's plan that He wants. And see, when He fits us in, cuts all that off. You see, look at what He said. Look what He said down in the Word of God in verse number 10. He said, the grace will make us perfect. That grace is going to fit you into the plan and the purpose of God. That's what He's doing it for. You see, rough edges have to be smoothed off to get it to fit back in where it needs to be in that plan. Perfect. Means He's going to mend that. That means mending a bone or setting a broken bone. That's what He's really talking about. That's what He's having to do, you see, sometimes. You see, God's going to make us fit. Jesus is there to mend us when we get. You see, the devil's, he's out to break us up. I mean, he's out to just break us down. But God's out to mend that he's a break. Amen for the Lord. He's there to make us fit in. Aren't you glad this morning He knows how to fit you in? And then there's God to make us not only fit us in this plan, but there's God, grace of God that'll help you to be firm. Notice what He said, establish. You know that means that you're not going to be shoved around with everything you hear. I want to say this morning. We're living in a world that's so unestablished in the things of God. So unsettled. Did you know anybody come through with a religion and somebody will follow it? Now, I want to tell you, that's not establishment. We need to know if he's preaching and teaching the Word of God. And we need to know if he is of God. If God saved him and God called him. He said, it's not everyone hollering, Lord, Lord around him. But it's him that doeth the will of my Father. God said, not only will I fit you into the plan, but I'll make you firm while I'm doing it. We need to be firm in God, firm, established in the Word of God. We need to know what God said. That's why I appreciate you bringing the Word with you. You've always done that. I mean, probably for 60-some years or 70 of this church, I don't know how long it's been established. And I want to tell you one thing. You brought the Word of God. You can follow along and you know if you've read enough where he's preaching the Word of God or not. You need to be enlightened enough yourself in the Word of God so you'll know what he's preaching if it's true, the true Word of God. And God said, there's grace to fit you in. There's grace to make you firm. Hallelujah. See, the devil just can't shove you around where he wants to. If you're established, you know what established means. You're settled. You've got a firm footage. You've got a good foundation, you know, and you'll shove the foundation. That's what established means. Then he said he's going to make you forceful. Fit, firm, forceful. That's pretty good when you get that in the Lord. He said he's going to strengthen you. What kind of strength do you need? Well, if you need some physical, he's got that. But, dear friend, that's not all what he's talking about. Notice some things. There's some spiritual strength that God gives you daily that you can draw for the resources of God. Amen. I tell you, when you get to kind of feel low, thank God, he'll lift you up. He'll help you. And then he wants to make you fixed, settled, dear friend, to mean to lay a foundation. When you get it fixed, it's settled. Did you know grace is wonderful? I'm glad, as I said a while ago, he's got saving grace. He died to do that, something we couldn't do for ourselves. Then we got grace to sustain us. Paul went through the rough times of the affliction of the thorn, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength made perfect in weakness. And then you've got serving grace. You ever get to the time where you don't care whether you serve God or not? We probably all been there if we just admit it. See, God's got saving grace. Oh, bless his name. He's got grace to sustain you with the battles of life and the things that you're going through. And then you've got served in grace. Sometimes you don't feel like you've been serving. And don't even want to serve him sometimes. See, that old flesh raises up. And wants to take over. That's where that humility comes in continually. Just staying humble before God. If we can have the humble spirit, you see, we'll have that humility in serving. And God's got serving grace for our lives. Brother Rick, you come and get us a song, and while we stand.